This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
My name is Brenda, and I'm currently a BSW student completing my placement at DCO, and I'll be your host for this week. In this week's episode, I interview Marilyn Clark, an art therapist candidate and registered psychotherapist qualifying from the Delton Glebe Counseling Center. Tune in to this enlightening discussion as she shares her perspective on hope and how we can use hope to get us through the COVID-19 pandemic with a creative spin. Hi, Marilyn. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you, Brenda. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do this interview with me. Before we start, could you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. I am an art therapist candidate from the Toronto Art Therapy Institute and registered psychotherapist qualifying. And I currently work at the Delton Glebe, and that's in the Delton Glebe Counseling Center in Waterloo. And I come to this career late in my life. I spent the last decade and a half working in the violence against women sector.
Oh, cool.
So this is a new career for me.
Nice. So we're going to be discussing hope. And so before we start that, could you please give us your definition of hope?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about this, and I suppose to have hope is to want or to strive for an outcome that makes life better in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that being said, keeping hope alive doesn't just happen. Right. And it, from my own experience, you know, cultivating a stance of hope requires deliberate effort and commitment. Yeah. So I think hope, you know, helps us through tough situations and makes them more bearable.
Yeah. The definition of hope can be broad and can vary from person to person. So how might hope look different from one person to another?
Well, this is, again, a really, really interesting question. I think that we have to consider the inequities of our lives, right? And think of social justice and persistent racism, economic disparities. And so I think in this way, you know, hope will look different. It will take a different form for all, depending on our life circumstances, our privileges, our support systems, all of those pieces. And I think it may be harder for some. And we all, you know, we know that COVID is truly exposing the social inequities, right, in our society. So that being said, I guess anyone can experience despair.
Yeah.
And often we are surprised by the intensity of, you know, despair that others carry, you know, often hidden in plain view, right? So, and other times I'm struck by, you know, the resiliency of others. So hope is a really, you know, why do some people have hope and why do others? I think it's a really complex question. And I think that there's a certain amount of resiliency and a certain amount of mystery in that. And, of course, a combination of so many factors, you know, and how do any of us stay hopeful and not succumb to despair?
Yeah, I like how you touched on the different social locations of different people, because hope may not look the same for everyone depending on where you are in society and what kind of things you go through. And yeah, challenges come to us no matter what kind of social economic status we come from. But do you think hope is enough to get us through the pandemic?
Another great question. I think hope is a deliberate stance.
Yeah.
You know, that we can, you know, and I suppose some, you know, some people are going to feel more hopeless than others, yeah. You know, during COVID, you know, particularly if you're speaking about the pandemic specifically, mm-hmm. You know, many people experience the death of a loved one,
yeah.
Or, you know, have considerable amount of despair, the tolls taken on you personally or your own health or your livelihood. So I think that it may be really difficult to mm-hmm. keep hope alive and have hope during the pandemic. But in a way, I come back to, you know, that we all must kind of fight against the darkness, you know, and to help each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, and everyone needs their basic needs met, food, shelter, safety, love, all those pieces. And once those needs are met, mm-hmm. I think there's more space.
Mm-hmm.
To allow hope to move in, right? So I sort of see that as a collective responsibility, really.
Mm-hmm. And are there other factors that you think needs to exist alongside hope to help us through the pandemic?
Well, community, I'll come back to that. We need to really be, I mean, we need the practical hope of science and, you know, vaccines mm-hmm. and fair inoculations and global inoculations and distributions and, you know, and just tapping into the goodness
mm-hmm.
of others.
Yeah.
Like, how do we do that? How do we tap into the goodness within our communities
mm-hmm.
to help foster hope, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, during this time of COVID, I've heard a lot of stories about kindness. So I've seen a lot of people mm-hmm. helping out each other with just the little things and finding the joy in that. So that's been really helpful.
Oh, absolutely.
Uh-huh. And then also, how can people cultivate hope in their life during the pandemic?
Well, so for me as an art therapist to be,
mm-hmm.
Qualifying, the very act of creating, right, is
yeah.
a push against despair.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I mean, that's the profession I've entered into. That's how I've thought of my life because
mm-hmm.
I've used creativity in my own life as a way to push against despair. So creating any artistic expression of any kind
mm-hmm.
has the power to help us transcend ourselves and our situations, even if it's for a moment.
Yeah.
And so I think creating is, for me, and I'm speaking, you know, from an art therapist perspective,
mm-hmm.
is inherently an act of hope. And so that's, you know, I'm also optimistic by nature. So I think that, so I guess I'll end there.
Oh, nice. I like how you added in the aspect of being artistic, because I haven't really thought of it like that before, but I can see it as like another way to express yourself without having to use words, because sometimes
uh-huh.
it's hard to come up with the words to say, but you can just express yourself through colors or drawings without really having to focus on words so much all the time.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
And do you think people who have a form of spirituality in their lives benefit from hope more than those who do not hold spirituality?
Well, you know, I came from a very strong faith background,
mm-hmm.
And certainly in my childhood, and when I looked around at family members, I do believe that hope, you know, helped them through difficult, the faith rather, helped them through difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people who with a strong faith can be very sustained by their spiritual beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that spiritual beliefs can help one make sense of their world and provide
mm-hmm.
comfort and solace and community, because I've always come back to community.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if faith alone can inoculate us against despair. So I think
mm-hmm.
it again is a complicated question, but the
yeah.
fact that there is structure and community with many in many spiritual communities,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a very important part of it.
Yeah. And also, are there any type of resources you recommend to maintain hope, such as books, podcasts, or community resources?
Yeah, well, one can always turn to the late poet Mary Oliver.
Okay.
Okay. One of my favorite poets, she died a few years ago, you know, for imagery and words of encouragement, you know, and she encourages us to seize the moment. And she, you know, also encourages us to look at the world, particularly the natural world, with wonderment. And I have, you know, I have read several terrific novels and a few wonderful books by, you know, some of my favorite writers, existentialist therapist Irving Yalom. Staring at the Sun, I just finished that. It's an excellent book for therapists and non-therapists alike. And I love Michelle Obama's podcast. They always uplift me. And there's so many wonderful stories of inspiration and connections, right? And one such I think I'm thinking right now is the Long Lost Family, the UK. It's marvelous, inspiring stories of families reunited. And yeah, I've seen all 10 seasons, and it's like being watching. It's like being wrapped in a big old cozy blanket. So, you know, there's ways to self-soothe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I haven't heard of a lot of those, but I'll be sure to check them out.
You're welcome.
And then what are the benefits or importance of hope on our well-being?
Well, I think, you know, I think, as I mentioned, you know, hope does allow us to see or to think about a better future. And you know, and maybe just motivates you or us to yourself or others to take steps, right, to make that vision happen. So I think, you know, I mean, in when people come to therapy, I think it's an inherently hopeful act, because you're saying, oh, I want something different for me.
Yeah.
And so that very act of wanting that and seeing something different and envisioning, in a sense, it's envisioning a different future, right? So, yeah, so I think hope, you know, I like in thinking about from a therapy perspective, you know, if you might encourage a client to think about their wildest possible dreams of the future, to be playful and visualize themselves or their future in a way that is kind of free and unencumbered. And this process can be very difficult, especially if somebody is feeling a strong sense of despair, but it's an exercise. It's inherently hopeful, as it entertains kind of a new mindset that is really hopeful orientated. So I think hope, yeah, it really does. It can really, having hope certainly does make our lives better.
Yeah. A lot of people have found hope through the communities that they belong to or just connecting with others. But how do we find comfort with others while they're in isolation?
Well, reaching out and sharing, you know, you just talked about that, laughing, picking up the phone, you're not hesitating, you know, when we think about that person, don't, you know, just resisting, oh, I'll do that tomorrow, you know, here and now.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important, and, you know, something that I have to push myself to do sometimes, and talking to our neighbor, right? Yeah. Or someone in a way that, like, in some ways, you know, we have now the space to notice, and ironically, you know, more than ever, that, you know, to notice others, right? Somebody walking by you, or even though we can't physically be in their presence or get close to them for a hug, we can check in and show kindnesses in different ways. Meet their eyes, you know, look at them when you're walking by, even if it's it has to be at 6 feet, but to meet their eyes and to say hello and make something, of course, create.
Yeah, a lot of people have realized that, oh, what we used to take for granted is so, like, well possessed now, whereas before you would see someone on the street, you would say hello and it'll just be normal. But now when someone says hi to you at the grocery store or compliments you in some way, it's taken with so much more gratitude. And I just like hearing those type of stories. And also, do you have any stories about hope during the pandemic to share?
I do have a story. So my father, he's 87, and he lives in the same town as me, but of course we are being very careful and not having too much physical contact with him. Certainly during the long lockdown we have not. And he likes to write poetry, and he was becoming kind of you know, particularly with what was going on in the United States, and, mm-hmm. and he was becoming very despondent with what was going on. And he decided that he was going to write a poem every day.
Wow.
And share it with his family. And it's been a wonderful point of connection, and a wonderful point of connection for all of us. And mm-hmm. we get to write back to him and, you know, just say, oh, Dad, that's really neat. I really like this one. Oh, it's so inspiring. And, you know, not all of them are hopeful, mm-hmm. but many of them are. So he's also sharing those harder points of feeling lonely or mm-hmm. Wondering what's happening in the world. And I have actually a very short one in front of me, and I can read it to you.
Oh, sure. I'd love to hear it.
Sure. This is called Prescription for a Good Life, and my dad's name is James Clark. So break free from your cell of darkness. Venture with hopeful eyes into the morning light and its great white sheet of sky overhead to write on. Inhale the clean blonde air, grateful to be alive. At every green moment along your way, cast your seed far and wide, trusting even if sunlight dims, the earth will bloom again. Let your hands overflow with good deeds, like the river of night shimmering with stars.
Awesome. That's beautiful.
So we have the pleasure of these poems arriving, and, mm-hmm. and it's just, he's so excited and mm-hmm. by everybody's. Isn't it? So at 87, he's sending them out, and he's got his, you know, his group list, and mm-hmm. and he's connecting. So that to me is a really hopeful story.
Yeah, I really like with poems, how they can express your thoughts and emotions, and it can help other people to feel connected to you also. So that's what I really like about poems. Those are some really great poems that you shared.
Thank you.
Did your father grow up writing poems, or was this a new hobby that he started during the pandemic?
Oh, so he's been writing poetry since he was a young boy.
Oh, okay.
And then he took a break from that and did all those things. Either he had mm-hmm. six children and he had to, you know, work hard and do all those things that you need to do to sustain a life with six children. And mm-hmm. so he came back to it a little bit later in his life. And
oh, nice.
Since then, he's written many, many poems, and he's published a few books. So this mm-hmm. this has been a real, a real inspiration for all mm-hmm. of us.
Yeah.
You know, and so yes, he's really inspiring us all to tap into our inner creative self, right? Mm-hmm. That we all have hidden somewhere. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's hidden away.
Yeah, that's awesome. Is there anything else you would like to share or add that you have not touched on yet?
Well, I'd like to say that I have listened to your very rich series of DCO podcasts, and they are very, you know, very hopeful, very inherently hopeful. And so I really want to thank you for your work in trying to tap into that. And yeah, no, I think I've talked a lot. So unless you have any more questions.
Oh, no, that's everything. Thank you so much for sharing your perspective on hope. I really like your perspective of the artistic piece, because I think that's another area that other people can also explore as well.
Thank you, Brenda. Mm-hmm. And keep up the good work. Keep creating.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a good rest of your day.
Okay, take care.
Thanks, you too.
Hi, I'm Damien, one of the editors of the DCO Learning Forms podcast. Over the past year, we've been busy converting our Learning Forms series of videos into podcasts, and thinking of new ways to continue delivering new and more in-depth content. We've seen the demand, and we're announcing our move to Pinecast and our new tip jar function. Please consider going to tips.pinecast.com/jar/distress-and-crisis-ontario and donating. And in return, we'll be recording new follow-up episodes on some of our most popular topics. These will be accessible for tippers only, and will help pay for travel, web hosting, etc. For the interim, you'll still be able to access existing content on both on both the Pinecast and Fireside feeds for free, but eventually we'll be making the switch to Pinecast. Thank you for your understanding.